and welcome to
What the heck?
Strange, spooky, and confusing tales, the podcast all about stories that make us go,
What the heck? I'm Victoria Howard.
And I am Laura Munson. Welcome back to the show.
What the heck? The What the Heck show.
We keep on just bursting into song, and it just never
It's really become a problem. We just be bursting into song and also random, really bad British accents.
Yeah. That's been our thing today because I've been watching those TikToks where it's like proper British dishes from World War II. This is
pretzels on fire. They used to eat this so that they could eat and stay warm at the same time.
It's like my floor in my apartment, a proper British dish.
Happy Friday, Laura Munson. Although you have recently got a job that does not constrain to the normal hours of Monday through Friday.
Yes, I got a second job. I am living the Zillennial dream. I feel like due to privacy purposes, I can't say where.
Yeah, but like, I got a retail job.
I got a retail job and it doesn't suck. I'm so happy that it doesn't suck. You know, I was expecting when I decided to break into the magical world of retail, I was thinking this is going to be hell. I'm going to have to wear heels and just stand there smiling while Susan rips into me because we don't have a blouse in her size. But the good news is this particular retail chain is like, you can wear sneakers, and if Karen or Susan starts ripping into you, you can walk away and call a manager, and we won't be mad. And
good.
It's like, thank God.
That's like the bare minimum of being a decent employer.
And they're also like, yes, you can tell people to get out of your bubble because it's COVID time.
It's COVID time.
And I've gotten really good at saying, oh, excuse me, ma'am, would you please step back a couple of feet? And then they're always like, oh, man, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm very glad that I am not having to work a super, I guess, public job right now. I'm very grateful for that. But especially at the beginning, I guess I was working, I'm going to say it, I was working at fucking Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, you don't work for them anymore.
I don't work for them anymore. And it was not great over the summer because, you know, people would come to the drive-through. You'd have to, like, get really close to the car to hear them over their car, and they weren't wearing masks. Ugh. Yeah. 0 out of 10. Would not recommend working anything right now. Or anything at all.
Just don't work.
I don't stand for capitalism. But also, I do enjoy having nice things in life and having money.
Yeah, I kind of like eating. And
yeah. Yeah, anything else going on?
I found out that a couple of Winthrop dudes have started a new podcast that sounds really cool. It's called Minored in Film. Our friend Jacob Weiss is on it, and it's two guys who minored in film talking about films.
Literally, I sent a screenshot of it to our friend Lily, and I was like, this is so funny, because I actually used to be a film minor until I dropped it so I could graduate a semester early, but me and Lily would always be saying some nonsense about minoring in film and how that makes us experts. She's still a film minor, but I was like, this is really funny.
So I'm really excited to hear Minored in Film. That sounds like a really cool thing.
I think it's We Minored in Film on Instagram. I believe that's their Instagram. We followed them. We'll share their stuff to our Instagram page.
Because we want to be podcast buddies, right?
We love supporting
fellow Winter Beagles in the MassCom department.
Yeah, We Minored in Film. Oh my gosh, they're also in a studio. Look at that.
Oh, look at them.
Cute.
What else is going on? And you stop saying so much.
Well, see, I don't mind saying because you get to edit.
Yes. Fuck off. Fuck you.
Wow, that was a very unintentional there.
Real quick, another update on what the heck is, Victoria is being fired as of today.
Well, I guess that leaves you with a story, so
good luck. She's fired after she tells her story today.
Yeah, so speaking of story, you want to go ahead and get into it? This one's going to be probably pretty long. Yeah,
my script
is like 5 pages.
So. Go for it. Well, I'll cut down some of that nonsense we just did.
Yeah, no, not nonsense. It was
sense.
really insightful and important commentary
on the world at
large. We are so intelligent and so smart. We should honestly switch our podcast over to just like being smart, not just telling stories, just being smart bitches. Do you agree?
I think so.
Okay, so
yes, I think. Sorry, I got distracted because I got a message from We Minored in Film saying thank you for sharing, and it's like, thanks, buddies.
Oh, thanks, friends.
We're friends now.
So, seeing as it is spooky season, I knew that when I started researching that I wanted to do something paranormal and spooky, and I was like, I've been watching The Haunting of Bly Manor, which, incredible show, watch it. The Haunting of Hill House was also incredible, and I rewatched that all the time, but The Haunting of Bly Manor, so I was like, I went on Google, and I was like, haunted houses, and I saw a list, and I was reminded about The Bell Witch. Have you ever heard the story of The Bell Witch?
It sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it's very, very talked about story. I think that there's been one film, like, titled The Bell Witch, and then others that have been inspired by it. It's sort of your classic haunted house, haunted everything story.
Sounds haunted.
Yes, it's very haunted. Very haunted. But all of the sightings are very corroborated. Is that the word? Corroborated,
that's when other people are like, yes, I saw that too.
Yes, yes. So there's lots of, like, corroboration about the experiences that the family, that the Bell family went through, and other stories from people. My information for the story is coming from thebellwitchcave.com, which is owned by the people who own the land now. Bellwitch.org, which is a website entirely dedicated to the Bell Witch, and it's written by Pat Fitzhugh, who has written several books about the hauntings. I also got some information from Wikipedia, and then an article from Atlas Obscura.
Nice. I love Atlas Obscura.
Right? It's so much fun.
We really just, this podcast is like 25% brought to you by Atlas Obscura.
25% brought to you by Atlas Obscura, 25% by Wikipedia, and then the other 50% is like random sources.
Like TravisWalton.com.
Yes, exactly.
.org, like, sorry.
Literally the name, or like the dietlovepass.org. Literally just the name of whatever the story is, .org. All right, so in the very early 1800s, John Bell moved his wife and five kids from North Carolina to a homestead in Tennessee. Oh. They moved into a large house, and as time passed, they grew their land, or they bought more land, and it grew into an over 355-acre farm. During the early 1800s, they had three more kids. Everything in their lives was relatively normal. You know, they're just doing some early 19th century stuff, farming, sewing, churning some butter.
Love that.
You know, classic. And John was also an elder at their Southern Baptist church, and they had a very good standing with the community.
Christian girl autumn, love it.
Exactly, Christian girl everything. So it was all very normal, like I said, until a fateful day in 1817. So John Bell went out to inspect a cornfield, and he saw a strange-looking animal. He said that it had the body of a dog and the head of a rabbit, which is weird. But also, like, I feel like that could just be a dog.
You know? It's like a baby corgi.
Exactly. He shot at the animal because it was scared him, but it disappeared. And I wasn't sure if it ran away or if it, like, evaporated. Oh, but no. It disappeared.
It said,
it said, goodbye. John didn't think much of it after that, so I assume it ran away. And he just kind of kept on about his day until that night. The family went to bed, and they started to hear beating sounds on their home. So someone was, like, outside banging on the walls. John and his oldest sons ran out to try and catch whoever, whatever was doing it, but they were unable to find anything or anyone.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
That really sucks. It's the 1800s. They don't have a Ring doorbell. They just...
Yeah, imagine not having a Ring doorbell.
Can't imagine that.
Imagine a world before that. Like, what happened to their packages?
They can't lock the door. Their house is probably made of, like...
Actually, there's a photo of the house. Do you want us to go ahead and see it?
Yes, show me this house that whoever's beating on the walls could probably very easily get into.
Yes.
Because it's the 1800s.
Oh, hold on. I don't have it pulled up. Bell Witch.
house.
Also, if you guys didn't pick up on the joke, neither of us can afford a Ring doorbell.
Yes. So, it was like a clapboard house. Out in the middle of a...
Oh, that's a very nice 1800s house. Right, it was
very large.
That's very pretty.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Like they put a lot of work into that. They probably could lock the door. I feel bad for hating on them.
Yeah, you know, they probably had a bit of security, perhaps.
Yes.
The beating continued on the walls for weeks following. And, you know, when it would happen, the boys would all run out and try to figure out what was happening, if they could catch anyone. And they always came back not having seen anything and not even having seen someone, like, run away into the night. While this beating was happening, it actually started to progress, I guess. The kids started to wake up in the middle of the night and they would complain that there were rats chewing at their bedposts. But when they went to look, nothing was there, and there weren't even any marks on the bedposts from the scratching or whatever.
Don't like that.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
It did get into the house.
It got into the house.
Snuck right past that Ring doorbell.
Yeah, the Ring doorbell, it's gone. The Ring doorbell didn't protect them.
From the Ring doorbell witch.
The Ring doorbell witch.
Is that our title? I don't know.
The Ring doorbell.
God, I hate this. Anyway, continue telling me about the bell witch.
The Ring doorbell witch. Then things progressed even more, and the kids started to complain that something was pulling their blankets, sheets, and pillows off the bed at night and throwing them around the room. So they didn't see anyone doing it, but they were getting their blankets yanked off. So I don't like that.
See, that's
personally.
Sucks.
Personally, that's a no-go from me.
It's hard to get a good night's sleep when that's happening.
Exactly.
And then your school suffers, you know? Like.
Of course, of course. And then on top of all of that, they started to hear whispering voices. And it sounded like a little old lady singing hymns. So, you know, little...
Our God is a good and God thou art.
Like, imagine you're trying to sleep and you just hear that.
You hear, our God is a God. It's like,
the bread of God is bread. The bread of God.
Like, that would be a little creepy, personally.
Yeah, you know, that would really suck.
Yeah.
It's Christian girl Autumn goes too far.
Oh, yeah. It goes too far as soon as you have a Christian ghost haunting you.
Yeah, it's like, come on, Christian ghosts. Let me sleep.
Let me sleep. Just, I mean, like, at least haunt me during the day.
Mm-hmm. Freaking the kids out. Anyway.
The family was continuing to look for whoever, whatever was doing this, but they couldn't find an answer. And John told them all to keep it a secret because it was so crazy and they were living in the Bible Belt and were part of a Baptist church and they did not want this to hurt their standing in the town. However, as time progressed, so did the things happening to the family. And eventually, the youngest daughter of the Bells, Betsy, started to have physical encounters with whatever this thing was.
Aw, Betsy. So,
she would be pushed around, pinched, slapped, and her hair would be pulled. To the extent where she would have scabs in her head, and she would wake up with welts and bruises all over her. So finally, because, you know, he's hurting his daughter, John reached out for help and told his closest friend, James Johnston, about what was going on. So, you know, they were like, we need someone else to experience this so that we aren't the only ones experiencing this nonsense. So Johnston and his wife spent the night at the Bells to see if they would experience the same things and to figure out what was going on. They ended up having the same experiences as the Bells. There was banging happening on the walls, they had their covers yanked off, and the hymns were sung to them. And James actually slapped as well, which... The spirit did not get very physical with many people, so it's very intense. Eventually, Johnston got so upset and fed up that he jumped out of bed and screamed into the night, "In the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want?" There was no response, but after that, there was not much more activity.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We should have tried that before.
Exactly. So that morning, Johnston told John Bell that it was a spirit like in the Bible. And despite the family trying to keep these things under wraps, word started spreading about what was happening to them all throughout the country. As time passed, the voice of the spirit started to gain power and traction until it was unmistakable as a legible voice. So before, it could have just been like a little humming in the background, but now it's like a voice all its own, doesn't sound like anyone else in the family, and it's talking to them. Continued to sing these hymns, but it also started to quote scripture and, like I said, just talk to them. And someone decided to ask it the question, "Who are you and what do you want?" And the voice answered, "I am a spirit. I was once very happy, but I have been disturbed." Which is so ominous.
Oh, I don't like that. That's when you pack your shit and go.
Right? It's really, I don't know how this family, like, didn't leave. Like, they could have just left, you know?
How long were they enduring this?
It happened until, so it started in, what did I say, 1820? 1817, ended in 1821.
Four years.
Yeah.
That they're enduring this shit.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff happens. So.
It's like you can go, you can build another house. It probably might not be as nice, but like you can build.
Exactly.
It. You can go elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
They started to have conversations with the spirit and ask it about its origins, why it was there, all of that. And it would give them different answers almost every time. So at one point it said that it was there because of a disturbance to an old Native American burial ground. This sent some of the kids, some of the children of the Bells, out on a wild goose chase trying to, you know, dig up buried treasure, basically. But they found nothing. It also claimed at one point that it was the witch of an old neighbor named Kate. So if you ever are looking up stories about the Bell Witch, a lot of places will refer to her as Kate, which is very interesting. But there's not much, other than her claiming it once, there's not much evidence to support that it either was Kate's spirit or something that Kate sent after them. Things started progressing, and at one point, the entity quoted two sermons, word for word, that were given at the same day, 13 miles apart. So, literally that Sunday, these sermons were given, two different churches, 13 miles apart, and the Bell Witch quoted them.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
What's interesting to me is that it seems like it's, you know, from what I know about spirits, it seems like it's definitely a malevolent spirit, maybe even a demonic presence, but it's quoting scripture and stuff.
Right? Like, I feel like I would assume that it's some sort of demonic possession, not possession, obviously, but like some sort of demonic spirit. But the fact that it has the power to quote verses and sermons, that's very scary because
it's almost like a bastardization that it's doing. It's like it's bastardizing.
Exactly.
This stuff that, you know, usually you think that you could just, like, you know, in the name of the Lord, leave. And then the demon will go, uh-oh.
But then it did that one time with Johnston. Like, he said, what are you, like, in the name of the Lord, what are you doing? And it stopped for the night. So maybe it does have some power over it when they're using it against it. It's not very clear.
Damn.
So obviously people were questioning the legitimacy of all of this. A lot of people were saying that it was some sort of hoax set up by them. A lot of people thought that it was Betsy doing all of it. Maybe a couple of the others that were involved. So one of the sons of James Johnston came up with a test for the spirit, and he asked it, which is, this is really gross, but he asked it what his grandmother would say to slaves when she thought they had done something wrong. He asked because he knew that no one outside of his family would know the answer to that, and with no hesitation the entity said, "Hut, hut, what has happened now?" in a perfect imitation of his grandmother's voice and accent.
Oh, no.
So the grandmother doesn't live around there. She's dead, I'm pretty sure. And somehow this entity is quoting his grandmother and mimicking her perfectly, which, horrifying.
Don't like that.
No.
Don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So do you remember how I was talking about how the news about the spirit started to travel?
Yes.
Okay, so it reached Andrew Jackson, gag.
Ew.
Who, he was a general at the time. And he started to become intrigued about what was going on. He went with a group of men to the Bell home in 1819. When the men reached the property line with their horses and wagon, something stopped them from being able to cross the property line. The horses were trying to pull the wagon around and the men through, but they just couldn't. And the men were encouraging them, and nothing happened. They couldn't get across the property line. So, apparently Jackson got really giddy about this and exclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, that must be the Bell Witch!" Meh. Jackson.
But, no, but that's also, some serious shit whenever your horse says no.
Well, the thing is, the horses were trying. Like, they couldn't cross the line. it was like there was like a wall in front of them, basically. So once Jackson said that, a female voice, disembodied voice, came to him and said that they could proceed and keep going, but that she would see them later.
Don't like that.
Yeah, so it left the house. It's kind of... The worst thing I think about the Bell Witch is that it doesn't just appear at night in the house. It kind of goes throughout the property.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So Jackson's men were staying in the home, and as it approached night, one of the men, who claimed to be a witch tamer, pulled out a gun and put a silver bullet into it. He told the family that the bullet could kill anything evil and that the spirit must not be coming out because it was scared of him.
Oh my god, I hope this guy gets his hair yanked or something.
In response to this, the spirit immediately decided to come out.
The spirit said, bit.
Said, all right, let's try it. The witch tamer started screaming and his body began jerking in different directions. He said that he was being beaten and stuck with pins. And then the spirit said that there was another fraud in the group and that tomorrow night he would be tortured. So obviously this terrified the men and they were begging to leave the house. But Jackson was like, no, I'm an asshole, so we're not going to leave and I'm just going to stay here. So his men ended up leaving the property and sleeping in tents, which I feel like that must have been really scary if they're like, yeah, the better alternative to this is just going and sleeping in some tents, you know?
That's intense.
That was a really good joke.
I'm so sad. Anyway.
You're so just done with your own self.
I really am. Tell me about...
I'll continue the story, yes.
Please.
Yes, ma'am. So Jackson stayed behind because he was intrigued. He wanted to know more about this. And actually, I didn't mention this, but three of the Bell sons fought with Jackson. Like, he was their general during one of the wars. I don't know which one. But he was a general, so, like, he knew the family. So he stayed with them, and he was trying to figure out if they were legit. What happened after that was not very clear. No one says much. Jackson didn't say much. But very early the next morning, right as the sun was rising, Jackson and his men were seen leaving from the nearby town of Springfield.
So that makes me think that the ghost came and beat the shit out of Andrew Jackson.
Yep. So the Bell Witch, she might have been a little bit of an asshole, but at least she was an asshole to Andrew Jackson.
Fun fact, it's me from the future. I went back.
Fun fact, I, as a ghost, you can time travel, and I went back in time and beat the ever-loving shit out of Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Which, speaking of, happy late Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes.
Yes, we should. Andrew Jackson was a key part of destroying Indigenous cultures and lands. We should, as white European people, educate ourselves and, you know, stand for these cultures being revitalized and having their land back.
Fuck Christopher Columbus. Fuck Andrew Jackson.
Fuck colonization.
We stand the Bell Witch for beating the shit out of Andrew Jackson in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was doing some good work.
So she did.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, and you know, maybe she... You know, she said something about a Native American burial ground. Maybe she was like, oh, this bitch.
Right?
This bitch.
Exactly. So there is some more evidence that Bell Witch might not be just an asshole. And that is a report about a time that she was actually helpful.
That's nice.
Basically, a group of kids found the cave on the family farm and decided to go explore it. While they were exploring, one of the kids got trapped in a hole, and the others weren't able to reach him, and he wasn't able to pull himself out. But then a woman's voice said, I'll get him out, and then invisible hands pulled him out of the hole. She apparently then told them about how to explore the cave safely.
Aww.
Yeah, so she, I mean, like, outside of, like, hating John Bell and wanting to kill him and beating Betsy up for no reason and beating Andrew Jackson up for reasons...
Like, not letting she anybody seems sleep.
Like a, she seems like a nice person, you know?
Yeah.
She's just chilling, but also perhaps a little bit demonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I only read that on Atlas Obscura. It's not a very popular story of the Bell Witch because it's less scary.
It's like, it's scary, but it's nice.
It's nice.
That's a little weird when just some invisible hands yank you out of a hole.
Yeah, imagine, like, you're just like, ah, I'm gonna die in this hole in this cave. And then the Bell Witch just is like, ah, I gotcha. And she's like, she's like, here you go.
It's like, I'd be freaked out, but I'd be thankful.
Exactly.
Be like, oh shit, thanks. Mm-hmm. Invisible spirit that just yanked me out of nowhere.
Yeah, what a kind moment. But we do have to get back to how cruel she was. Yeah. Specifically to the youngest Bell girl, Betsy.
Poor Betsy.
So she was tormented the most by the spirit. Like I said, she was waking up with welts and stuff. And she actually ended up becoming interested in a young man who lived not far from her family. He was named Joshua Gardner. The two ended up getting engaged, and everyone, all of their families, were very happy, except for the Bell Witch.
Oh,
no. Yeah, for reasons that are totally unclear, and for some reason, the witch would constantly tell Betsy not to marry Joshua, and that he was a bad person, and she would torment Betsy about this. It would get to the point where Betsy and Joshua couldn't go anywhere without the spirit torturing them and taunting them, and she wouldn't let Betsy sleep at night. Eventually, Betsy grew so fed up and tired of it that she broke her engagement off with Joshua, and her harassment all but stopped. Basically, once she was able to, once she cut it off, it stopped. But my theory is that it's potential that perhaps Joshua was actually a bad person and the Bell Witch knew it and she was trying to protect Betsy, but also why would she be beating Betsy up if that was the case?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really understand.
That's kind of not cool.
It's not very cool, but
not very nice.
I think I just have, I really want all ghosts to be nice. So I'm like, perhaps.
Yeah.
He was a bad man. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But at this point, the Bell Witch was not done yet. She had expressed her distaste for John Bell over and over again, out loud, and she vowed that soon she would kill him.
Oh, no.
So then, in December 1820, John Bell died.
Oh, no.
He was in a coma for a day, and then there was no obvious cause of death, but right after he died, the family did find a strange vial in the cupboard, and when they fed some of the liquid to their cat, which, why would you do that? The cat died almost instantly. So it was poison. Then, after the cat died, the entity sang out, "I gave old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him."
And the cat's probably like, "Gee, thanks."
The cat's like, "What the fuck?"
The cat's like,
"What the heck?" Well, maybe the witch just wanted a little companion.
Maybe, but the cat's still probably like, he didn't have to go that hard.
Yeah, no, no.
I could have just waited.
I can't believe that they were like, this mystery vial, let's feed it to the cat. Like, what was that thought process?
So, how do we know what this is? Oh, I know. Come here, Fluffy. You want to tell us what this is? By dying?
Dying. So then they threw it into the fire, and the fire went up in massive blue flames all the way up their chimney, and then went out. At John Bell's funeral, the witch made another appearance, apparently singing and having a joyous time. She was singing about either, I think it was whiskey. Well, they're in Tennessee, so that makes sense. Whiskey.
I don't know why, but actually I do know why, because I'm chaotic, but I just get this image in my head of they're at the funeral and they're sad, and then they hear Rain Makes Corn Makes Whiskey, Whiskey Makes My Baby
Feel Get a Little frisky,
and then they're just like, damn it!
Damn it, we're mourning our father!
She's like, ha, fuck you! Fucking do it again!
And so she was, you know, having her great time singing the Whiskey Makes Her Frisky song. And she did not stop, or maybe she stopped after it, but she didn't stop until the last person left the graveyard. So she was like, I'm going to go to your funeral and I'm going to dance on your grave, baby. After John died, it seemed like the witch stopped her hauntings, like her purpose had been fulfilled. And then in April of 1821, she visited John's widow, Lucy, and told her that she would return in 7 years. For 7 years, there was no word from the Bell Witch. Everything was chill. Everything was quiet. No more torture happening. But, you know, John's dead.
Mm. Yeah. But then in 1828, the Bell Witch came back and talked to John Bell Jr. They had a lot of different conversations. Apparently, it wasn't necessarily a haunting, more than she was, like, vibing with John Bell Jr. I don't, like, they had, like, some good conversations, apparently.
She said, "What's up, my boy? I've missed you."
Like, "What's up? How you doing?"
Updates?
Yeah, but apparently they talked about a lot of things, including the Bell Witch making very accurate predictions about the Civil War. which I don't like. Like, why does she know the future?
Because she's me from the future.
Ah, yes.
Go and beat everybody up.
I forgot about that. Plot twist.
Maybe she is from the future, real talk.
Honestly, like...
That'd be weird.
Maybe she, like, knew that John Bell was an asshole. Or, like, that Joshua was. Maybe, but why would she beat up Betsy? I don't understand.
Yeah. That's so mean.
Yeah. So after a few weeks of these chats, she told John Jr. that she would return in 107 years to visit his closest living descendant. That would have been in 1935, and the visit would have happened to Dr. Charles Bailey Bell. Dr. Bell actually released a book about the Bell Witch the year before the expected visit in 1934, but he never published a follow-up about what happened to him. And he died in 1945 without ever clarifying what happened or saying anything about it. So, yeah, either that nothing happened and he couldn't make money off of it, or something happened and it was very traumatic. The Bell Farm is still open for tours. The house is still there. You can go on a tour there. And the cave is still there. And they actually believe that when the Bell Witch was not tormenting people, that she was chilling in the cave, which makes sense why she would know so much about it and be able to lead the children out.
She said, "Welcome to my cave."
Yes. So she's still blamed for lots of different things. Pat Fitzhugh said, "The entity that tormented the Bell family and the Red River settlement almost 200 years ago is often blamed for unexplainable manifestations that occur near the..." Oh, rude. "That occur near the old Bell farm today. The faint sounds of people talking and children playing can sometimes be heard in the area, and it's not uncommon to see candle lights dance through the dark fields at night." That makes me think Will-o'-the-Wisps.
Yes.
Right? "Photography is especially difficult, and some pictures taken in the area either show mist, orbs of light, and other phenomena, including human-like figures who were not present when the photos were taken."
Yeah, that's some ghosty shit.
Right? That's so, like, this is still happening 200 years later, even though, like, we didn't get an update from that doctor who was a descendant. And then I just like the way that this page was ended on Pat Fitzhugh's website, so I'm going to continue reading it. "The cause of the Bell's torment almost 200 years ago, as well as today's horrid, unexplainable manifestations, remains a mystery. Numerous theories abound, but there is no one theory that is universally agreed upon by Bell Witch enthusiasts and researchers, and there probably never will be. Different people have different standards of proof. Most do agree that there was something very wrong at the Red River settlement in the early 1800s, and that there very well may be something wrong there today." And then he says, "Who knows? It happened to the John Bell family in 1817. Maybe next time it will happen to your family."
Oh,
hold on to that thought for now. Pleasant dreams. So I just wanted to read that part because that really... that hurted me. The Red River settlement is now called Adams, Tennessee. I was starting to look up how far away it is from us.
Yeah, I think we should go on a road trip.
I feel like that would be a good time.
That would be fun.
How far away? Let's see.
That'd be a fun fall adventure for us.
It's a 7-hour drive.
Okay.
All right, well, we can switch off, you know?
Yeah, you know, we can get an Airbnb.
Yeah, perfect. Or actually, wait, no, I think there was another one. I think I was going to say that we could stay there, but that was another house that I was looking at that was haunted.
The Myrtles?
No, I'm not going to tell you because it might be another episode.
Oh, gotcha. Because I know the Myrtles is a haunted place where you can post up for the night.
Yes, there's actually lots of places. It's kind of a little bit overwhelming how many places that you can go just... hang out where people were tormented by spirits. Yeah, so
it's like people love to just be like, "Hey, I don't think you should go in here because this is a list of like all the horrible things that have happened to people a lot like yourself." Mm-hmm. And then they're like, but.
Yeah, so that is the haunting of the Bell Witch and the haunting of the Bell family. There are a couple of theories about what happened, but I don't think that most of the theories are legit, because I just think that there's a fucking ghost. So I'm not going to go over any of them.
Okay. What I want to know is, why do you think she hated John Bell so much?
I don't know.
What do you think he did?
There's like a lot of theories around that. And one of them has to do with, remember when I mentioned Kate?
Yes.
One of the theories is that somehow he wronged Kate once he moved there. I think that it has something to do with land.
Mm-hmm. He stole her land, colonizer. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And so she died and haunted him, or she sent another being to haunt him, which, you know, I guess that makes sense, but also, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Mm. There's a lot of accounts going literally all the way up until now of events happening on that land and people who, you know, there's people questioning it, which, no. No.
No.
It's legit.
Indeed it is.
I'm not even covering the questioners because I don't care.
I feel like that's definitely turning into a theme of, like, I'm like, here's what skeptics say, and Victoria's like, nah.
No, listen.
No.
Listen.
Victoria's like, it was some crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Crazy shit went down. And I'm like, yeah. Well, I don't know. It could be science. She's like, nope. It was
spooky. No, it was spooky.
It was spooky.
I think that we don't know the answer to anything, so why not have it be the better answer, you know?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot to mention, in the beginning, the Blair Witch Project was partially based on the lore of the Bell Witch.
Bell Witch. Oh.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because the Blair Witch also said, fuck them kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's a lot of other things that have I think Ghost Adventures went to the Bell Witch Cave. Haven't watched that episode, or I watched a while ago.
I feel like probably the episode was a lot of, oh my god, dude, listen to this, EVP.
Yo, my name's Zach.
My name is Zach Bagans.
I was about to say Zach Graff. That is not the same man.
I never believed in ghosts until I came face to face with one.
I should watch that tonight.
I heard that he's got, like, brain damage from all the times he's been possessed.
Are you serious?
That's what I heard.
Zach Bagans.
Yeah, he really just said, fuck with me, ghost. It's like, everyone I know who knows about spirits is like, hey, don't interact with ghosts because the energy you give them, they will give you right back. And then he goes in there and he's like, you know, fucking hey, try me.
Try me, Miss Bell Witch.
He said, I want you to reach out and punch me in the face. Do it. I want to get it on camera.
And the Bell Witch would.
And she said, okay, bet.
But yeah, so there's obviously always more information. I feel like, you know, you could do a whole, like, season of a podcast on the Bell Witch. But that was a summary of the events that happened between 1817 and 1821.
Cool.
Yeah. So welcome to spooky season, everybody.
It's spooky season. I mean, it's been spooky season.
It's been spooky season. All right. We are back on the case. Battery cut out for a second there. But all you guys missed was us rambling and also teasing the fact that we're going to have some fun, spooky Halloween episodes coming up.
Yes, we have just decided, you know what, don't hold us to anything because we never know what the hell is going to happen with our lives, but we have decided to do a 2-episode week for Halloween.
Yay! Yeah, it's going to be spooky and fun.
It's going to be strange, spooky, and confusing.
Tales are going to be told.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's do our heck yeahs. What's your heck yeah, Laura?
I don't really know. Do you have a heck yeah?
I do.
Okay, I'll think of mine.
Yeah, why do we always, one of us has to come in without a heck yeah?
I don't know. It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. That's our whole theme. My heck yeah is that tomorrow, which has already passed once you're listening to this, but Saturday I am going, we have a huge event happening here at Loom. It's a art reception and it's going to be really fun. And then, after that, me and my boyfriend are going to this apple orchard festival. And we're going to drink cider. And I'm going to get too drunk for the daytime and then come home and probably drink some more and just have a lovely weekend because it's been a very stressful week for me. So I'm excited to just have fun and chillax. And that's my heck yeah.
That is a wonderful heck yeah. Yeah, no, I was looking up this weekend, actually, for Windy Hill, because me and Anna were talking about going.
Yeah.
Because neither of us have ever gone. So I guess that's part of my heck yeah, is that my best friend Victoria is about to have a freaking amazing weekend, so I'm happy for her. My other heck yeah is that our mutual friend Anna and I are going to Windy Hill. I've never been. We're going on Sunday. You know, we're going to get some cider as well. Probably not going to get day drunk, but, you know, it's still going to be great.
Yes, ma'am. It's very fun.
Yes.
Super fall, festive.
So, overall, in the world, this is going to be a good weekend.
A good weekend. I am manifesting it right now.
So am I.
I will pray to the Bell Witch herself.
She's bound to be like, let me just cause another cataclysmic disaster to happen this weekend.
What if like, after I say all this, she comes back and just causes a shit show?
What if one of us is secretly related to the Bells? I would hate that. I don't
have... Oh my god.
You know, like, I...
My family is from Pennsylvania. Isn't that close to Tennessee?
No. My family is from Pennsylvania.
Wait, also they're from West Virginia, so... Well, I guess they moved from Pennsylvania.
None of that applies to them.
None of that really happened. Matters. I just want to think of a way that I might be related to the Bells.
I don't want to be related to the Bells, because I don't want to risk the Bell Witch not liking me, because it seems like Betsy was fine.
Yeah.
She was just a young girl trying to have a great Christian girl, Autumn, and the witch said, fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids.
She said, oh, you got a boyfriend? No, you don't.
Nope, not engaged anymore.
She said, you're not allowed to be happy. Poor Joshua was probably like, what?
What is going on?
It's like, sorry, my witch mom said, my abusive witch mom said that I'm not allowed to marry you.
Do you want to outro it?
Yes, I'll outro it.
You want to outro it? Oh, you should add that we're going to be on YouTube now, because I've determined that we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got this.
Thank you for listening to
What the heck?
Strange, spooky, and confusing tales. If you like what you heard, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WhatTheHeckCast, as in podcast. Listen to our new episodes every Wednesday and tell all your friends about our show. You can find us on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Breaker, Radio Public, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and coming soon to YouTube. If you would like us to come to any other platforms where you get your fine podcasts, let us know and we will make it work. Have a beautiful weekend.
Wear a mask. Be kind to yourself.
Stay spooky.
Be kind to others.
And we love you.
Don't beat up young girls for no reason.
Yeah, always have a reason.
But always beat up Andrew Jackson.
Yes. Beat Goodbye. Up colonizers, not children.
Goodbye. Bye.